So, we are ready to start with our pilgrimage. The way to Kailash is long. Many who have undertaken this pilgrimage in older times have not returned because it is really long. The nights are extremely cold. For only 20 minutes we will make a journey and I will be your travel guide. I first wanted to come in dhoti, but then I found out it was so cold that we needed underwear, thermal underwear and other things. First, we started in Kathmandu because we had heard that a week before, those pilgrims who went through Almora were surprised by an avalanche and 100 who came from India had been killed by the avalanche coming down, landslide it's also called. So we went from Kathmandu over these roads. We had to pass through the cloud of the coverings of the cloud, and many times the rivers were falling on the roof of our jeeps. Then the landslide came. Kilometers and kilometers of cars. I told them we can wait until infinity. They will not be able to remove it. And we loaded all our luggage to carry us, and we went over the landslide and hitchhiked from there into China. Here you see me still in an idealistic mood, carrying my dhoti. We went over the so-called friendship bridge. Here you see Nepal. We passed near Mount Everest and then went here. Tibet now is unfortunately under the strong grip of China. And even the Potala, the seat of the Dalai Lama, who had to flee into exile, is heavily guarded. That's a sad chapter, how a whole culture is invaded by a foreign power. But we will not delve on the political aspect of Tibet and China. It will be a spiritual parikram. We are interested to leave the world behind by going through this gate into the wonderful, mysterious region of Mountain Kailash, the seat of Lord Shiva in this world. Lord Shiva is aware of everything which happens in our consciousness through his three eyes, the sun, the moon, and the fire. Fire is pervading everywhere, and the sun and the moon see everything. So Lord Shiva is aware of our hearts. He has chosen a residence which is in the shape of a natural lingam, the lingam which is worshipped throughout India as the full presence of the Lord. Why the lingam? Well, Lord Shiva is nothing else than the glance of God through which we, the souls, are impregnated into this world. Lord Shiva is known as the greatest of all yogis, and his family is very amazing. He is associated with Parvati, the powerful material energy, and with Ganesh, his son, who removes the obstacles on the path of Krishna consciousness. His carrier is Nandi, the bull. But he is also carrying, Lord Shiva is carrying Mother Ganga. When Ganga came to the world, she said, "But I have so much power, I will pierce through the earth if no one is there to catch me." Lord Shiva caught her in his bundle of hair. Lord Shiva is situated in Kailash under a banyan tree and talks Harikatha, so much Harikatha, that Lord Krishna comes personally to listen as he talks to Narada in the August assembly. But the person who gets most of Shiva's katha is his own wife Parvati, who listens to many discussions which have become shastra, scripture. What Shiva says to Parvati is scripture. Do you know that Lord Shiva is the original narrator of the Bhagavatam? And Shukadev heard it as a parrot and later repeated it. Do you know this? Very good. He is very, very important Vaishnav. Lord Shiva has many, many forms. This is one where he is half man, half woman. Can someone tell me this form? Yes, please, only one person, because I couldn't hear.
Ardha Narishwara.
Ardha Narishwara.
Nari
wife. Ardha Narishwara. Thank you very much. He has many, many forms. Millions of forms. This is only one. And at the end of the creation, Lord Shiva wakes up from his mystic trance and begins to dance his dance of destruction. Yes. Please make the sound. And he becomes Natadvara. Why is he destroying? The reason is that Shiva is first sad and then angry. Do you know what is the sadness of the Lord, which gives forth the anger? He said that again the souls have misused their chance to serve my Lord Krishna. Again this whole cosmic manifestation was made in vain. Let me destroy it, so that they can have another chance. Amazing. Lord Shiva is also there as Gopeshwara Mahadev. Thank you. Who is celebrated in a shloka. Jaya Soma Vrindavaneshwari, Jaya Soma Soma Mole Sanatana Sanatan Naradetya Gopeshwara. I'm not so firm in the Sanskrit shloka, so I do not remember all the parts, but it says, my Lord Shiva, you give us entrance into the divine pastime of Radha and Krishna. Mountain Kailash is not only sacred to those who follow the Vaishnava Dharma, also the Buddhists who were founded by an incarnation of Lord Krishna, Lord Buddha, view it as sacred. There's a very long tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, which is very much mixed with Bönpo, that is shamanistic influences. And I would not like to go into the details of magic incantations and so on, but the Buddhists are also going this road to Kailash. Today Mahesh took us into the desert, and when I saw Mahesh's sign, I thought our Lent cruiser had the same sign, the Gauranga sign. I remember it. So our Mahesh has given great pleasure to us by reminding us of Mountain Kailash with his Gauranga car. It is a Gauranga sign. You see, with the arms. So our car, we are going. This is the view. It looks very lonely at first, deserted, but as you go through the landscape, you find how wonderful Krishna's nature is and how much it touches the heart with the play of the sun, the earth, the sand, and the water, all elements of the Lord. And of course, on your left-hand side as you drive to Mountain Kailash is the wonderful Himalayan mountains. In Ramayana, Lord Rama says, as the sun, when it rises, takes the dew from the grass, a darshan of the Himalayan mountains takes the sinful reactions from the heart of man. Look very carefully, my dear devotees. Today, Papa will leave your heart by having the darshan of Himalayas. The way is not always easy. You have to cross through rivers. Sometimes your shoes get wet, even though you are in the car. Sometimes there are ferries. And on this ferry, they put 7 trucks. I was very afraid, coming from orderly Germany. But Krishna protected us. This is how we traveled. We had a Land Rover, a Land Cruiser, and a truck, via a big truck. Well, we needed to put our tents. And why did we need tents? Well, we needed to cook our own food. So we had a kitchen tent and an eating tent, and then we were in small little tents here. My dear devotees, we felt really the ice-cold weapon of Lord Shiva, the ice weapon. And after 3 days, I just couldn't tolerate the nights in the desert any longer, and we went to these Tibetan dharmshalas, which were equally cold. And there was an additional problem of these dogs, you know, when it's dark, and not only howling, when you have to go out being driven by nature's force, then they become man-eating monsters. And you need to be very fast in whatever you have to do outside. And you have to do things outside because you have to drink so much water so that the blood remains thin and not thick. So in the night you sometimes have to go 3 times, and then you have to be armed either with a machine gun or you have to run very fastly. Here, you know, you take every conceivable device to be warm. I even put the light of a candle to have at least the illusion of warmth. Candle doesn't give much heat, but it gives an illusion. Here is fire. And problem was there for taking shower. We took from the kitchen hot water and then we showered at some place. But whenever we were in the midst of the operation, there were like 50 Tibetans around us who looked in disbelief that we would take shower because they don't shower. It's 4,800 meters high. And when they saw us showering, they were thinking, what are they doing? Most probably, for them, it was as strange as throwing dust over your body. They are not familiar with the art of showering. This is one beauty queen of Tibet. It's a very rich land, just only 30 centimeters under the ground. You find gold, like anything, silver, and also these turkeys are freely available, and even poor people use it as decorations. Many different people, I will go a little fast here, are there different groups of people. Their main food is tsampa. It is a dried barley and made into a flour, and that is mixed with tea. And then you eat. Many of them live in monasteries where they worship Lord Buddha. It's nice how the Vedic civilization even came there in form of Buddhism. Their mantra is Om Mani Padme Hum, may my consciousness open like a lotus flower. Sounds familiar, isn't it? We took a photo of this farmer. This was the first photo without flesh, But then we know you need for the light, you need flesh. And when we made the flesh, the horse began to run, zigzag. And the farmer was laughing because finally something was happening in his life. It's a very lonely country. Oh, Gaura Hari. Yes. Here, the yak is used as everything there, as the horse, the car. Here is the sheep. They do sheep herding. And here again the Himalaya mountains. Now it gets again spiritual. I wanted to show you a little bit the people and their customs. Look at this mountain. It's not yet Kailash. But soon we will go there. This is the what pious Hindus built, their own apartments. I have built my own house here. You can come and visit and stay as long as you wish. This is the last pass, and we will now cross it. And for the first time, these are two devotees dressed in the appropriate way. We see Mountain Kailash. Please join saying, Shri Shiva Mahadeva Ki, Mountain Kailash Ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. As we were approaching Mountain Kailash with our jeep, we felt the magic of the mountain. It felt as if Lord Shiva was personally calling us, come, come, I have waited for you. The feeling is so overwhelming that you begin to cry and you pay your full dandavat because you can feel you have come into the presence of the most powerful and also most loving Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. You sleep in Darshan. This is the something where the pilgrimage can go, like a dharmshala. And then in 3 days, you go around. This is the first stop where the Tibetans make their flags. And then you pass through the Valley of Mirrors. I will explain what it is. And come to the first stop here. Then you go over the pass and take a bath, a dip in Gaurikund, at least in your mind. I also did only in the mind. It's cool. And then this on the second day, it's the longest and most arduous journey. You come here to this monastery and sleep there, and then you do the third day. Now, all these days of the parikrama have one quality. This is the day of purification. This is the day of leaving your old life behind. It really feels, you feel newborn when you come here. And this is the day of starting your new life. Wonderful, isn't it? It's really a therapeutic parikrama. All parikramas are like this. So let us start. We come on a festival day. The people have come to establish this flag and they have different prayer flags. They think if the wind comes, it will take the prayers and blow it over the world. They establish this prayer flag, and the way it stands afterwards tells them what the year will be. And here the prayers are taken all over the world. May there be well-being for everyone. This is usually the prayer. We stop for a while, overawed by the darshan of Mountain Kailash, who is here. We see some of these Tibetan lamas. And this is a very interesting head. They do their ceremonies, and they were very respectful to us, knowing that we are also monks. And Lord Shiva accepts it all. This I find so nice, and that's why I want to show. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Oh brother, don't criticize the religion of others. Some kneel down to praise the Lord. Some sit in yogic trance. Some perform sankirtan. But they all worship our Lord, Shri Krishna." This is very nice understanding. Look, please, at these darshans. We are now ready to enter into the Valley of Mirrors. Let me first tell you a little story about the dog who heard about the Temple of Mirrors. He went inside and saw 1,000 dogs looking angry at him. Another dog came in the same place and he saw 1,000 dogs looking happily at him with tail moving in joy. My dear devotees, the world is like this. Whatever you carry into the world is reflected back. If you are charitable, if you are beneficent to others, the world will show itself from a friendly side. But if you are selfish and angry, the world will be selfish and angry with you, because we live in the Temple of Mirrors. So we enter this valley here through the flower valley. Some people feel it's so holy. I also saw sadhus who did this by Dandavat Parikrama. I only have a picture of this. I didn't do it because it's too intense. We pass this monastery. Previously everything was destroyed by the Chinese invaders, but now they again give the hands back to Buddha and the lamas. Different paintings. And yes, and now we are ready to enter the valley. Please come along with me and you will see wonders. Whatever is in your consciousness is reflected on these mountains. Like I saw a Sankirtan group dancing over the mountains. Others may see a dollar if they have that type of consciousness. Everything you see, you feel in your heart gets spelled out. This is a close-up, but when you see it from the distance, you see just different signs in these rocks, and it's really what is in your consciousness that you see in these powerful rocks. They begin to reflect back on your interests in life, on your feelings. So here we go. We have some yaks with us who have our luggage, tents and all. And here we make our first stop. Wonderful, isn't it? We went very close to Mountain Kailash to do our puja, first puja to Lord Shiva. We had this type of lamps and we just waved them in the direction. Beautiful photos, isn't it? See, here's the light is here. We had a very, very good help of photographers. And Lord Shiva seemed to respond. After we had completed our puja, it started to snow, and this very beautiful chadar appeared over the mountain. Lord Shiva seemed to wave with his chadar. "Oh, my dear devotees, I'm here. I saw your puja. I'm sitting on top." In the morning, however, Lord Shiva had been very merciful. There was 50 centimeters of snow. And when we came out of our tents, that was quite something. So from there, we went for the second day. Remember this quality of the second day? What is it?
Giving
Yes, leaving your old life behind. We have sunglasses. The light is so intense being reflected there from the sky. These simple people take hair of the yak over their eyes. Only the very, very rich people can afford a sunglass. There are different items on the way, like you can crawl under some rocks. And people say, if you make it, you get moksha. If you get stuck, you get stuck, you remain stuck in the world. But later I found out that there is a rock also for those who are a little fatty, which is a little wider for them to pass. One man is passing. And then you're supposed to leave your old life behind. I must tell you, I was a bad pilgrim on that day. I thought, I have given everything up. I'm now a monk. I was exhausted. And I passed Shivastal. It's called Shivastal. Without leaving anything behind. Now, all this way, you must know, our luggage was on these yaks. They carried everything. Tents, food, water. But because I didn't want to give anything to Lord Shiva, Shiva took everything away. The yaks just ran away with everything on it. My water, my passport, everything. When you go to a holy place, my dear devotees, never think arrogantly, no, I don't have to follow these rules. You have to follow also the traffic rules of pilgrimage. So Shiva showed himself from an angry face on that day. It became a little dark. One devotee was there who is an Olympia-winning horse rider. He is in quick horses. And he had gone ahead and had missed the first day where we slept. And the morning of the next day when it snowed, we couldn't find him. He was lost in the mountains. Only the second day, we thought we found him. He was half mad. He said he wanted to sleep at the pass by using the flags, prayer flags, as something to cover himself. But then he heard the voice of the Devi, "No man can sleep on my path. Go, you arrogant fool." So he went into the mountains, he ran into the mountains, and when he woke up, his leg was frozen to one rock. And then I had told him, when you have some accident or some problem, you must pray to Lord Shiva. So he did it, and by the mercy of Lord Shiva, this light, it was another light, but this type of, it's a reddish effulgence which Lord Shiva sends for those people in need, came and gave heat to his body, and he was freed. But when we met him, oh, he was in a bad condition. I gave him all the little water which I had left. Remember, the yaks had left us. And gave him all the food I had in my backpack. And then I gave him a massage so that he could at least travel on. That's him, the yellow thing. Here we're passing the Indus. That's us here. This is the pass of the Devi. Pilgrims, these are some Hindus from India, come, they have warm clothes bought there, and they take also part in putting in prayer flags, like the Buddhist monks, and they usually leave something there, a donation. I was marveling about the Tibetan ladies, you know, they bring their little bachas, their little boys, and no problem. And here, I wanted this photo to be made to show I made it. This is the highest pass. And a little bit underneath it, you find Gaurikund. I went all the way down and I wanted to take my bath, but the devotee said, Maharaj, you will not come out alive from the Gaurikund. Do your bath in the mind. And we did so. By Krishna's mercy, on the third day, when I walked, I prayed to Lord Krishna, and it is a very personal story. I'm very shy to reveal it in the public, but the Lord Krishna, he said, I was very pleased that you worshipped Lord Shiva on your first day, and here is your vision and your what I want you to do for another 20 years. And I'm very, very happy. Prabhupada appeared in that vision also. And I'm very gifted. More I cannot tell because it is a very personal thing. And these things are meant to be kept in the corner of the heart, not revealed in a public assembly. But from there, we continue to Manasarova. You know, in the Bhagavatam, the Prachetas went there and Lord Shiva appeared to them and revealed the song of Lord Shiva. On the way, we here finally we made it. The Manas, Shri Manasarova ki. This is the bluish jewel where all the sacred rivers, Yamuna, Ganga, all the lakes, everything is present. My dear devotees, it is just before Mountain Kailash, where this lake is there. If you sit before the lake and you meditate on Lord Krishna, you get very high realization. I spent a whole day, I could not move from here. Only one time I moved when it was when the sun was up, we went and took a bath in Manasarova. Here we are with the devotees entering. It is quite cold, as you can imagine. Yogis live on the side of Manasarova, and they also take every day their shower, but even this yogi is very fast. It's the rocks look like jewels, isn't it? And diamonds. Now there is also, I'm coming to the end, an inner kora, where when you have done 100 parikramas around Mountain Kailash, you are allowed to take this inner path. I didn't do it because I had only done one. But one person took this picture. What you see in the inner kora is Nandi. This is Nandi looking at Shiva. And it's something. These are the devotees who went with me. Kamala Kanta, a car dealer in Austria. Do not know. Have you heard about Austria? It is. And this is Dieter, who got lost that one day. I think you can see in his face there's still some fear, some bhaya. This is your humble servant in the unshaved version. And this is Mountain Kailash. My dear devotees, if you ask me today, Maharaj, what has stayed with you? What is still with you? I want to tell you an answer in an analogy. Our life is like a river. This life in this body starts from the source of our mother and goes to death. This is the I feel during this life we must make this journey as smooth as it is, and we must go to another ocean, the ocean of Lord Krishna. We should not end our life with death. We should go through the gates of death to go to Krishna. No one dies at death, but some are reborn again in the world, and others who have understood their Sanatana Dharma, and here is the eternal Dharma, go to Lord Krishna, back home to Godhead. they can actually go to what we call Krishna Surya, the Son of the Lord. We, the living entities, are meant to be connected with Him. We are His rays, we are His parts, part and parcels. Only when the cloud of forgetfulness comes between us, we are in the cold and we are shivering in the coldness of life.